No, we've got chapter 8, chapter 28, sorry, of the book of Acts. Now, you're supposed to read through it twice this semester, just like you're supposed to read through twice last semester.
I don't know if I'm going to get through Ruckman. I've been reading about halfway through that.
Yeah, but what do you think of it?
It's got some good stuff in it.
That's all I wanted you to see. There's some great insights. Great insights. I mean, sometimes you got to skip a lot of...
I just skip the paragraph. I just got the next one sometimes.
That's right. That's right. But that's how I am. If I'm reading Pink, I like to skip pages of he's on a diatribe of this and that. It's like,
well,
but that's
I was reading and I went, why did you say that? Stop. And I go over
right.
here and read the next
one. That's right.
Why
that's right. That's right.
Oh,
that's
right.
You
want to
skip.
I just
call
people names.
That's the best part of the
world. It is not.
Boy, you feed your flesh, man. You got to learn something.
I'd have to do that.
So what's
the
Pink talk
book? Huh?
I got Skip
Pink's a Calvinist.
Yeah, he is a Calvinist. And so he gets on. Oh, I can't believe. What was I reading yesterday? It wasn't about Pink. It was somebody else. No, it was actually Matthew Henry. Where was I?
Is he a Calvinist?
No, but he had some really... There's Calvinists, a lot of people. Matthew Henry's not Calvinist, but he started talking about the sovereignty of God. And I can't remember what verse, but the verse was so clear about choice. I must choose. This shows God's sovereignty and immutability and nothing about free will. And it was like, what a waste of space that he just took up. He just went on his little pet peeve on something instead of going, what did the verse say? And that bothers me. Okay. Anyway, we're off the subject. Acts chapter 28. Verses 30 and 31 says this. And Paul, leaving the end of the book here, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, how did he afford that? But just think about it. He's been in prison. He's been in chains. But he's got his own house. And he received all that came unto him. And look what he was doing. Even though he was in house arrest, he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Meaning, nobody was able to stop him. All right, Paul is about to arrive at Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire of the day. Caesar Nero is the current emperor, and he does not like Christians. He considers them deadly enemies because they are inflexible in their worship. And have you noticed in America, there were a couple of recent reports given out. One of them was that there are a lot of right-wing extremists that have plans to take over the government, and they are recruiting veterans from, and it was absolutely an abomination. Whoa. Oh, that's a good word. Oh, abomination.
Yeah.
It was actually abominable that they were saying that these right-wing extremists, which point to Bible believers, but there are always right-stream extremists, but they're grouping them all together. These are people who homeschool. These are people who have lots of children. These are people who believe that that too much government is evil, and they're recruiting. And I mean, the point is they make people who stand up for something evil. There are extremists, but they want to make even military guys who come home and they're dissatisfied dangerous. And Caesar deemed these Christians as deadly enemies of the Roman Empire. And they were inflexible in their worship. 4 things about Christians. One, they will not permit the worship of Caesar. I'll only worship one God. I'm not into multi-faith. Okay, I'm not ecumenical. 2, right-wing fundamentalist Christians will not permit the inclusion of statues and idols in their worship. I don't want to liven up my church at all. There's no need to adjust our worship. I don't want to include drums. I don't want to include idols and holy pictures. No, we don't allow it at all. We're very exclusive. 3, Christians constantly focus on the negative. Now, I don't believe you ought to be a negative person, but we do preach both sides of the issue. We preach that people are lost and headed for hell. They need to be born again. I mean, if somebody interviewed us and we were on the radio and we said, yeah, I believe the whole world's going to hell. That is just so negative to them. But that's us. And 4, we turn the world upside down. We don't leave well enough alone. Christians affect our world, and we can upset, unfortunately, whole communities, especially when they're all drug-based and MTV-based. B, Rome is only noted for one thing in both scripture and history, killing Christians. That's what Rome is known for. And if you want to be known as a Roman Catholic, you're a fool. Rome didn't want to do anything but kill Christians. Acts 12, who's the first one that was killed by Rome?
James.
Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Go back to Acts chapter 18. I don't remember what I was saying there. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, the previous Roman emperor, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And so there's a great persecution against Christians in Rome. And then throughout the Dark Ages and the Inquisition. But Paul was not concerned with Rome, only with souls. That's all he saw. So he set out to run a race that God had for him, and he finishes the course. And when he ends up in Rome, he says, all right, this is where I was supposed to be. I just wish I had come here first class instead of last class in chains. He could have gone straight to Rome under his own power, but he chose to go to Jerusalem, didn't he?
Right.
And God said, all right, now you come to Jerusalem, you've had your fun, now it's time to go to Rome. All right? D, Paul has arrived on a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea called Melita, in the middle of a horrendous storm called Euroclydon that had just gone on, it's supposed to be,
that lasted
for several weeks.
No, it should be gone on, and that had gone on, that lasted, first, I probably had two words there,
yeah,
that had gone on for several weeks, let's just say H-A-D.
You could just take the gone on out.
Yeah, that had lasted for several weeks and had wrecked their sailing ship. Now we come to his final journey, Acts chapter 28. Let's read it. All right, and when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. They were very superstitious. Whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after he had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Aren't you amazed at how people can flip from one side to the other? In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, all others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. So, Paul spends the winter in Malta, 3 months, and he lives as an example of what to do when stranded, is your fill-in. What to do when stranded. What do you do when your world stops? Number one, you keep the fire going. If you ever backslide and you let the fire go out, you are in trouble. You understand? There's a great practical lesson there. He gets a fire going. He keeps it going. I mean, it is pouring out rain. And he says, let's get the fire going. Amen. If you feel down, you know what you need to do? Get right. You need to get into the book. You need to start singing songs. Somebody says, I read my Bible, I get depressed. Then sing some hymns. Turn up West Coast and sing every word from the bottom of your heart and just start praising God. If you can't praise God in the middle of a storm, then you're not worth shooting. Every Christian needs to keep the fire going. God's not going to keep a fire going when you won't put any wood on it. You understand what I'm saying? Put the wood on it. Don't get lethargic, lazy, or allow the cold and discouragement to catch up with you. Be busy, physically and spiritually. Somebody says, but we're so busy. I know. Sometimes I put a lot of emphasis on being Marthas. And yes, we may need to put more emphasis sometimes on being Marys. But I know this, Marys go up and down in depression all the time. Marthas, they may get frustrated, but they always have something to look back and go and be able to say, I was there. I had a part in this. I was able to give there. I have a part in God's plan. Where Marys just go, wow, without Jesus in my life, and I just don't feel His presence. They're up and down. They're too emotional. I like being a Martha, okay? You got to be able to tell that, all right? Number two, never worry about your circumstances. And I got to share with you, we watched this message by this black preacher. What's his name?
Kenny Baldwin. West Coast.
Huh? Kenny Baldwin.
Are you ready for Bob now?
No, you ought to go and look on the internet for Shake It Off! He preached that, man, 45 minutes, Nina and I listened to that, we were jumping, man. He said, man, when the devil latches on with you and starts trying to hurt you, is trying to bring you down, you know what you need to do with that demonic thought? You know what you need to do with your demonic past? You know what you need to do with your depression? You need to shake it off, amen? It was so good, man. That crowd was absolutely bonkers with joy. Listen, when troubles come, when the storm comes and they latch upon you and it looks like you're dead, you need to not to stop worrying, you stop fretting. You need to believe in the Lord, amen, and not believe in your circumstances. People always misunderstand what's happening in your life. People always going to look and, Barry, say this happens. Say Barry's car burns up, man. Goes out and people go, wow, man, God's really getting Barry. That's what people would think, don't they? And you lose your job. Oh, God's against you. That's wicked, isn't it?
That's wicked, God.
And it's superstition. It is wrong when you think, God, why are you doing this to me? God's up in heaven going, I'm not doing anything. This is how life goes on. Things work, things fall apart.
So you think God doesn't have a hand in...
No, it's not true. That's not true. You ought to always, every time a disaster happens, you ought to get on your face before God, humble yourself and reset. That's what Windows taught us, amen? You get the blue screen of death, reset. And you face into a trouble, reset your life. All right, always start over and say, Lord, I'm back at zero. Whatever you're trying to do, you got my attention. You understand what I'm saying? But maybe you better quit blaming God and saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you ruining my life? Why are you attacking me? Stop it. If God is not against you, who is? The devil. So every morning you've got one of two enemies you're going to face. I'd rather it be the devil. And if the devil's going to try to get my joy, try to stop me from being a testimony, let him go at me. Let him come at me with all his vengeance. Amen?
Is it right to say it's so that you know that's the devil?
Very hard to tell. How can you tell? Did Job know who was going against him? But who did he want to talk to and try to fix up with? Only focused on God. So it's very hard to tell, is this the devil or this is God in my life? Like I taught last year when we learned Job at the ministry, there are three reasons why you have trouble. Okay? One of them is because God's against you. One of them is because the devil's against you. And one of them is because God's trying to get you to grow. You cannot grow without pressure. Okay. So you settle that thing and you go, this is not the end. This is... And even if the devil means for evil, God's going to make it for good. And if the God's against me, and I reset my life, repentance, it's only going to turn out for good. And if this is just God put me in the furnace to firm up my convictions and to get me stronger, I'm going to turn out good. So I got to quit griping. All right? Very practical. Very practical. So never worry about your circumstances. Shake off the attack. You can shake it off by one, pleading Christ. You need to learn to do that. You know what it means to plead Christ's blood? What does that mean?
If I was to plead Christ's blood, I'd be kind of pointing out to myself and to God what Christ's blood has done or should be achieved in my life.
All right. Give me a picture of what's going on when you use the word plead?
Your what's stories, you know, really strongly
appealing to.
You're appealing to, but it's in a courtroom situation. And you need to imagine that there is, you have your adversary, the devil, you have your advocate, Jesus Christ, and you have God the Father. And you are pleading the blood of Christ on your behalf. You're not pleading your own righteousness. You're saying, on the basis of the blood of Christ, I need to be out of this. I need this pressure. I need this case closed. That's what you're doing when you plead the blood of Christ. You're saying the blood has to be enough because I can't carry anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I can't put up with this disaster any further. And that's when you turn to the blood and you say, the blood finished it. So Lord, get the devil off of me. That's what you're praying. Amen.
It has a value more than just, you know.
It's not a magical value.
People say, you know, oh, hide me behind the cross of Jesus and all that. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? I mean, are they just trying to say something?
Yeah, they're trying to just say something, but there is real value. When you say, hide me under the blood or hide me behind the cross, what you're saying is, protect me from the attack of Satan. Mm-hmm. Protect me from the fiery darts. I don't even have the faith to protect myself, so I'm hiding behind the cross. And you need to get a real military or a real courtroom situation in your mind. You can shake it off by pleading Christ's blood. You can press on and finish the job in spite of your attack. Stay in the middle of God's will and nothing will harm you. Amen? Where was Paul? What did Jesus say? Paul, thou must go where?
To the Gentiles?
No, to Rome.
Oh, to Rome.
He said, you're going to Rome. So all of a sudden this viper grabs on his arm and he goes, you're not going to stop me. He shakes it off. I'm going to Rome. He had to believe, just like in the middle of the storm, he stood up and he says, guys, there appeared with me an angel last night, whose angel I am, that I belong to, and he told me everything's going to be fine, and folks, I believe God. In the middle of the storm, it looked like he was going to die. He gets bit by the snake, and he says, I believe God. Everything that happened to Paul, he says, doesn't matter. I believe God. Amen?
Somebody has to believe.
You ought to, amen.
And it helped the other people. Oh, the other ones
did indeed. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Testimony, yeah.
And then thirdly, you ought to pray for others. You ought to quit sitting there focusing on, oh, look at me, I want to die. Oh, do something. No. Believe God and start praying. Do you know what this does? Not only has the ship been saved, but when those 253, how many other souls were there? I'm looking in verse 20, chapter 27. Yeah. Ah, through 37. 276 souls. 276 souls. You know what? I believe all of them got saved over those 3 months. They're stuck with Paul. I bet you he had church. I bet you when they saw him shake that off, I bet when they saw him healing everybody, they said, we got to listen to this guy. I bet you every one of those people got saved. So pray for others, will you? It's just so imperative. That's how you shake off your situation and your problem. Three, use every opportunity to witness. There in verse 7, 8, and 9, he starts witnessing to Publius, and he starts preaching the gospel to a very, what were supposed to be, barbarous people. These were people that didn't have a language written down. These were barbarians. They killed one another. And Paul says, they're Gentiles. I got to witness to them. Number four, watch the Lord meet your every need. Look at how those barbarous people took such good care of him.
Yeah, I was thinking that when he said barbarous and they sort of showed no little kindness, I was thinking, is that just Luke being Jewish, you know, kind of being...
Luke? Yes.
Yeah, was he just being like, you know, oh, they're Gentiles and they're heathen and stuff?
Their landing on Malta was a very rough, rugged... I mean, like landing on Skellig Island, man, it was so rugged that people who were living there were rugged. And this is like if you landed in Ireland 2,000 years ago, how rugged would it have been? These were not colonized and civilized by the Romans. The Malticians, whatever you want to say what they were. Maltesers. Maltesians.
Maltese, yeah.
The Maltese, there we are. They were very, very barbarous. So yeah. It's not him being racist, yeah.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, he healed Publius, you know, so I was just thinking with the healing and stuff, would that have meant maybe some of the guys, this 276, would have been Jewish? I mean,
Well, they were prisoners, but I can't tell that they were Jewish or not at all.
The healing and stuff, you know, for...
Yeah, why was there healing? There must have been some Jews around. But it was also just an act of kindness.
Yeah.
And these were people that, you know, he couldn't show them the Bible. He couldn't show them the Old Testament. So these guys didn't have a language written at this point, evidently. And so he just uses that miracle to get to going. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying for a miracle for somebody, even if they're unsaved, because it can't open the door.
You know, the barbarous guys, how can you explain that they showed so much kindness, even though they didn't have the Bible, and they're born sinners, and they have a sin nature, and they're not born again?
Because all of us are not evil through and through. We are sinful through and through. And even our best motives are not enough to please God, but they can please other people. Hey, people who are unsaved sometimes are very kind.
Alright?
Because you're made in the similitude of God. God put compassion in everybody. Now, you choose whether you use it or not. God put love in everybody. The unsaved love one another. Jesus said, the publicans love each other. What do ye more than them? You know? So, they have attributes of God. They're just not developed. Okay? His final journey. Let's look at verse 11. After 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle. So they found a new ship, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass. That's a cool thing. We made, to fetch a compass means we took a trip. To fetch a compass is we made a loop. Okay, we're like that. Okay. Where we go, and came to Regium, and after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Pertulii. Now it sounds like you're coming towards Italy, because everything ends in I. And when we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went towards Rome. So they find some Christians. Verse 15, from thence when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. And the three taverns, that was the name of the village, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and he took courage. So would you say Paul was always full of faith and courage, or did he need encouragement?
He needs encouragement.
Oh, man. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. Who's he calling for first off?
The Jews.
And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, and would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me, but when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Now when he says that, what was the hope of Israel at that time? The Messiah.
Right.
Right? These are key words. All of a sudden, the hope of Israel. And when they said unto him, We never received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. So he says, they say, we didn't know there was a problem. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning the sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Wow! Yeah, man, we've heard of the Christians, and everybody says they're bad. Well, at least that's what the Jews were saying against one another. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Why wasn't he talking about the kingdom of heaven?
Because that had passed.
Yes. Kingdom of heaven was not for now. He said, guys, you got to understand the millennium and the kingdom of heaven, we missed it. When Jesus was on the earth, he offered it, and we rejected it. So now what we got is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is yet. So he taught them about salvation, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. He loved it. This was Paul's life. It wasn't like a one-hour counseling session. And when some believed the things which are spoken, and some believed not. That's pluralism, folks. You have the truth, but you allow everybody to believe what they want, okay? Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. This was his word to them. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Now who's making them unable to hear? Does God shut them down?
Mm-mm.
They did it. They filled up their ears. And their ears are now dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. You need to underline those three words. They have closed. Have they closed? Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So what does God want to do? He wants to heal them. But you ever seen a little kid do this when you're talking to him? I'm not listening. La 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 la. That's how the Jews were. And Paul's saying, Isaiah prophesied of this day, and you're fulfilling it. I mean, it was a slam. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God, run a line from the words the salvation of God up to the kingdom of God. Because that's what he's talking about. That's what it means. Is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And they did. You know who was getting saved the most during Jesus' ministry when he was in Jerusalem? When he was in Israel? Gentiles, man. Samaritans. The black Canaanite woman. The centurion there with the servant calling for Jesus. You had so many people who believed more than the Jews. Verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I'd love to have a church service. That's when you have revival. You know when you have revival is when you preach, and then when people are going home, they're arguing. Now, why did he say this? Did he really mean that? Do you realize if that's what it says, then I'm right. I'm wrong with God. I need to get right. That's good. All right? If the message continues on after church, then it's been a good message. Amen. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and he received all that came unto him. Isn't that a good preacher? Amen. He's not a Calvinist. Oh, you're not elect. You're not one. He received everyone that came in unto him. And listen, I take back anybody. There have been a few people. I mean, I say take back. I'll talk with anybody. There have been some people I've had to put my foot down and say, you got to leave. But you're welcome in my home anytime. I've always said that. You can come talk to me anytime. And I've had to do that 3 times now. One guy's up in Northern Ireland. One guy you know. And there's another guy here. He and his family are not allowed in our church because of there were some sins in their lives that were affecting people in the church. And we just says, you leave or I'll have to report you to the guard because you're not trustworthy. But I take them back anytime I can talk to them. Verse 31, he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidden him. So how does your Bible end? He just was preaching. Does Luke record Paul being beheaded?
No.
I think, can you imagine if he finished the book of Acts with those words? How discouraging that would be. And Paul died with his head rolling down the hill, a little bloody. We all wept and cried. No, you can't end there. I mean, God knew how to end it. All right, let's do the final journey. The winter's now past, and Paul and 276 souls hitch a ride on a passing ship. Within just a few days, he's arrived on the coast of Italy and Puteoli. He seeks out other Christians, and when people heard it was the Apostle Paul, they came from 50 or 60 miles away to meet him and to hear him preach. Paul was always encouraged by the presence of Christian brethren. He sought them out. If they don't want you around, then so be it, but at least seek them out and be a blessing. Amen? Principle is this, don't neglect Christian fellowship. I don't care if you're on holiday or if you're on work-related business, always be in church. That's where you're going to find courage and encouragement. Be careful, or God may just take Christian fellowship away from you. If you don't put an emphasis on it, it will fade. 2, Paul arrives in Rome and is treated quite well. He gets down to business, even though he's a prisoner. A, he witnesses to the Jew first. Believe me, he still has hope for Israel, that they would turn back to God. Now, the only hope for Israel and for the world is the reason why Paul would endure any and all hardships. Go to 2 Timothy 2, and I'll show you the meaning of a verse that a lot of people really freak out at. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, Brother John.
Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
So why was Paul having to endure anything in his life?
For the Jews.
Because the Jews were against him. So who are the elect there?
The Jews.
End of story. It is so easy when you get the context and when you start to understand. The elect aren't the Calvinists. Alright? It's the Jews. They're elect, but they're not saved.
Also, would like John Piper say here, he's got to preach the gospel for the elect's sake.
So that they can finally put together all the, connect the dots that God has been working in their life. This God's going to work out anyway.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. Glad I'm saved, man, by the grace of God, not by the election of God. I guess the truth is, never give up on your family. Amen? They're the elect. If you're in your family and they're not saved, they're the elect. In your life, they're the ones that you ought to endure all of their attack because you want them saved. 2, those Jews in Italy had not heard all the latest gossip about Paul, but they wanted to hear his opinion. But that's kind of funny. Did you notice? We want to hear what you think. Did you hear what they said that? Instead of, well, what saith the Scripture? Modern scholars today only want relative opinions that they can judge by their own opinions. They're not interested in absolute truth of any kind. 4, Paul's cottage is packed to overflowing with interested hearings about this Jesus. Paul opened the Scriptures. So you ought to open your Bible and let people see it for themselves. When you're giving the gospel to somebody, open your Bible and show it to them. Paul expounded the Scriptures. That means he worked step by step through the concepts of the Bible, connecting them in the minds of the hearers. That's opening their eyes. He talked about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Caesar. Not politics. He wanted them to repent of their sin more than prepare for the millennial kingdom. Amen. D, he persuaded them. That means he said, it's time to make a decision. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Christ? He compelled them to choose Christ over their Jewish religion and their good works, and then he took the time. We went 8 to 10 hours with him, amen? He and the hearers knew it was that important. We already read, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, instructing those that oppose themselves. Verse 5, as is always the case, some believed and some believed not. That's free will. How you become a Calvinist? It is only by the devil. If people can't agree, then so be it. Don't seek unity at any cost. Hey, listen, you know what? If we get into a bad argument in our church, I'm just going to say, some of you need to leave then. Amen. Because we can't always agree. But we need to be able to fall in line and say, yeah, but it's not worth dividing over. But if you want to divide, then some of you believe, some of you believe not. I'm going forward. I don't have a church full of people. Some believing, some not believing. The gospel, amen? If somebody doesn't want to get saved, you know what I expect? They're going to leave. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And if I've got some people, I want us all to believe the King James Bible. But if some don't believe, then you know what I'm going to hope for? Either get right or get going. I don't want to drive them out, but I expect them to leave. Amen? You can't expect that everybody's going to get along perfectly. And let's just not have any division at all. No, division sometimes determines your course. I don't want to, keep going and take it on because I don't know how far to take it. I definitely want unity, but I want a unity on truth. And that's why we make it truth from the start. We make it very big. Number six, Paul must make it clear that people who choose the wrong path have made the wrong choice. Don't leave alone as if it doesn't matter. Verse 25 has him saying, let me just tell you, as you're going out the door, let me just tell you, Isaiah prophesied of this very moment. And I mean, that's strong. And that is good for somebody to see. You know, when I make this choice to turn away from Christ, you need to let them know, then you're rejecting the God. Oh, no, I'll get saved later on in life. No, you have determined today that you're damned. Sometimes somebody is so blatant. Now, you don't want to hit everybody who slams the door in your face and stand outside their house and, you're going to hell because you rejected the gospel. They don't know what they rejected. But there are some who make clear, turning away from the gospel, you need to be able to make it very clear. When you go to hell, it'll be because you made the choice. God didn't send you to hell. You chose your own destination. The people's ability to believe has been hindered, but it was their own will that blocked up their hearts. God seeks to save and heal every broken heart if we would just allow Him. Amen? I love how He uses that word, and I will heal them. Isn't that a good thing? So the basic word of the basic meaning of the word salvation is what?
Deliverance.
No.
Saved.
Basic word. Hey, I wish I knew Irish because the word in Irish for salvation is a big long word I can't pronounce, but it boils down to health. And I think can you remember who translated now? O'Connell. O'Daniels. O'Daniels, when he did the New Testament word salvation, he knew it came right down there, safe. And he included the word, the meaning of the word, health, healing. There's a lot of meaning to the word salvation. Not just deliverance from an enemy, but it's deliverance sometimes from myself. It's deliverance sometimes from my heartache, from my past. You know what I'm saying? When you get saved, you want to let God save you all the way. Amen? Is it not true that many people's physical ailments are because of a spiritual problem?
Right.
And if you can get the spiritual problem fixed, you can fix their physical problem too. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody's crippled and they have no legs, you know? That by saving them, they're all of a sudden going to be able to jump up and walk. Not always. But there are, you know, this back part here, the lower back. Do you know how much stress is on that lower back? Everything I do in my body is the torque on that lower back. And when people have lower back problems, I'll tell you this, you get the stress out of their life. You fix their gut so that they're able to digest food without stress. That lower back will fix itself. And I believe somebody who can't get out of bed because their back is killing them, you get them where they're trusting God and they've got a vision that God's got a use for them and a purpose for them. And you give them just a little bit of time and good health and good thoughts, thinking on these things, you get their heart saved and right with God. They'll be walking again. I believe in miracles. Okay? But I believe in miracles not because somebody went and touched their lower back, but because somebody was able to touch their heart and relieve the pressure. Amen? So I believe in healing by the Spirit. All right? That was for free. Amen. Notice the Jews had to be, verse 27 says, converted. And should be converted. Everybody hates that word. I've decided, remember I told you, I've decided I'm using that word. Yes, I aim to convert you. I'd say that straight out. Because I was afraid of it at first when I first got here. Oh, I don't want you to get offended. I don't want you to shut me off. But now I just realize you're going to shut me off anyway. So, you need to get converted. Amen. And then for the third and the last time, he says, I want to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Three times, two times previous, he's had to knock the dust off of his shoes in their face and look at them in front of them and says, we're going to the Gentiles. Now, he's lying because he always goes back to the Jew. But three times, what do they say in America? Three strikes and you're out. He does it three times and he says, I'm going to the Gentiles. You know what's funny? He doesn't go anywhere. He's stuck there in Rome, but everybody's coming to him. Talk about that more in a minute. But he strikes them, the Jews were out as far as Paul was concerned. The Gentiles usually hear and believe much more often than the Jew, the Gentile. Today, the civilized world is getting very hard against the gospel because of all the shams, all the false churches, Bibles, and teaching, because of fake Christians. And it has led to a vacuum being filled by every New Age idea and very vain religions imaginable. And whenever Paul... that's how come people aren't getting saved in the Gentile world anymore, even though they should be. It's because there's so many false Christians. I'm so sick of it. Whenever someone left Paul, after talking with him, he always got them at least thinking. And that's our job, too. He was reasoning with them. And Paul continues for 2 more years in Rome, preaching and teaching the truth of God's Word. With all confidence, no one could disprove God's Word. Let's make sure we stay that way as well. Is this the end of the Acts? Better not be. It is only the end in the sense that it is the Acts of the Apostles that are through. There is still much of the field of the world left to be harvested. Did not Mark 16:15 say, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every nation, every tongue, every tribe. Remember, it was during all of this action that God had used Paul to write 14 books in the New Testament. So Paul was pretty busy all the time. So John, got your work cut out for you. He was soul winning, he was discipling, he was church planning, he was training men to preach and to pastor, and he was writing. Sounds like Paul Chappell, doesn't it? That's phenomenal. Man, these are all things that are still needed today in Christianity. There's no room for laziness. I hope our church here in Ballincollig makes its mark. I want out of our church there to be people who are writing books, that are writing Bible studies, that we ought to have. I'm dreaming now. You ready for my dreaming? I'm praying one day for a pastor's conference in Ireland where as more churches are being started and that there are more. What's the guy's name? Tom Baker. Tom and his brother. Tom, is, I believe, is called. I don't know if his brother is. Is he called? I'm not sure. All right. who else is called here on the island to preach? I mean, you got Kevin O'Keefe. You got Declan Flanagan. And that, let's get us 25 guys like that. And we just have a conference. We're just like the pastor's training conference in West Coast. I'm just saying, that's what we ought to be doing. I don't want to just have church. Because that's why America's dying in Christianity. Because the majority of churches are struggling just to have church. Let's turn the thing inside out. Let's just turn our world upside down.
So you want to have a conference?
I want to help pastors. I want to help John and Kevin O'Keefe and Declan Flanagan to get together. Our men's retreat is something phenomenal because it encourages all the men. Right. But I like to get the ones who are pastors and give them every tool we can so that they do the work. So they learn how to deal with teens, so they learn how to minister to their wives, so the wives learn to minister to one another, and have a huge impact. Because a church shouldn't just sit and be a church. Church ought to be a powerhouse for the community. All right? This isn't just a place to marry and bury people. Amen? That's not what a church is for. 4. God sure isn't finished acting. Now, the apostles have finished acting, but God's not finished. There's a lot of action coming up in the future. Is there not the rapture coming? Amen? That's pretty active. Is it tribulation, millennium, judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment? Is that a lot of action? Amen. So the book's not finished yet. Amen? Here's supper of the lamb. Amen. We're going to have grits and fried okra.
Grits.
Amen. We just need to keep preaching the kingdom of God and teaching all things, those things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence. That's our goal. Now, get out your list. I'll start telling you what the final will include.